I do now. The show.
3, 2, 1.
And let's begin. Because there's not going to be sound.
Okay, this is an awkward beginning.
So, what's up, everybody? This is The Quad with Chris Young. As always, I am Chris. We got Haley the Bear.
Hello.
Producer Josh.
Howdy, howdy, howdy.
And Ryan from Miami.
Couch conversations on this episode of The Quad with Chris Young with Josh Gleave. I like this.
Yeah, we are making this work. Obviously, Haley and I are in studio. Josh is at rehearsals right now. It looks like he's sitting on the couch, but he's really like in the floor of a converted dressing room. And then Ryan, where are you at?
I got off a cruise about an hour ago. So fun was had on the Serenade of the Seas. So let's go.
Ooh, the Serenade of the Seas. I like it.
So yeah, I may or may not have won World's Sexiest Man competition on the cruise. I'm just going to say. I didn't put my medal on, but
those are international waters. So that's probably just like Jamaica's Sexiest Man, which congratulations.
Bahamas. You know what? Congratulations, Ryan. We'll give you your flowers.
How many Thank men you. Were on this cruise exactly?
Four. Well, the panel of judges were all fans of The Quad with Chris Young. So, yes, I think I had a little bit of the upper hand there. So,
was this voted on by your friends that went on the cruise with you?
No. These were a panel of judges based on muscular dystrophy, or that was not the
not
right
the
word.
Right, not the right, not the right word.
Based off. Muscular muscles.
Hey, Josh, you want to make that edit right there?
No.
Okay. Oh boy. How about that poll? Let's just go ahead and skip to that, Ryan.
Yeah. No. So polls are a big part of what we do with The Quad with Chris Young, and you can vote in them. They're really easy to do. You just
when you
go
start
to our Twitter account,
podcast, all you have to do is pull it up before we even start recording.
Yeah, but so what you do is you go to Twitter, you type in The Quad with Chris Young, and then conveniently it pops up and a poll comes up. And the poll, excluding Dark Knight, what's the best second film in a trilogy of all time? I don't think the people listen to your song at the end of the podcast, because Empire Strikes Back was the winner with 44%.
That's fair. I get that.
Everyone, yes, Ryan.
No, we're not starting that. We're not starting that trend.
Absolutely. I'm willing to bet that Ryan's never even seen Empire Strikes Back.
So you didn't listen. I had all of the Star Wars on VHS. I had the three-pack. You know, you had the three-pack together.
I own lots of things. That doesn't mean you've seen it. You owned it. Doesn't mean you've seen it.
I love them.
What's your favorite part of it?
My favorite part is when Yoda makes his first appearance, and we actually get to learn.
Something you Googled right before you started talking about it.
Yes, we get to learn. We get to learn about the Force. That's my favorite part.
Yeah, for sure.
It's not the part where he goes, "No, I am your father," which is one of the most quotable lines of the entire series. It's not that.
I don't like that. No, don't like that.
Oh my!
Not a big fan.
Okay.
Well, let's go to music. So, chart update. The song Looking for You is now number 18.
Woo!
So,
cracking the top 20.
It was top 20 last week, but it's making moves still. So, I'm very, very happy about that. Looking forward to where it's going to be in the next several weeks, because there's some stuff coming off in front of it on the chart. And definitely picking up some steam. So I'm pretty pumped. You can definitely tell that everybody's starting to hear it. Obviously, I was in Alaska. I have officially checked off the 50th state off of my list. So I've now played in every state in the U.S. Cannot thank everybody enough for just the energy and the hype level they had when we walked out on stage. Because I don't know what I'm walking into. I've never been to Alaska in 38 years of life. 17 years of a record deal. I still have never been up there. So I was hoping it would be awesome and that it would be a lot of fun. And they definitely did not disappoint. Fairbanks, Anchorage, you guys showed up, showed out. It was amazing. Hinder randomly showed up at my show in Anchorage, which was, they were playing in town, and just came straight after their part of the gig and showed up. So that was kind of cool.
A missed opportunity for thruple music right now.
I know.
Oh, I know. I know. I actually, I did do a verse chorus of, Lips of an Angel.
Yes.
And the crowd sang the whole thing. Like it was super fun, man. I really do have to say, shout out to Alaska. You guys treated me so well. Everybody that was there helping facilitate the gigs was amazing. It was just a really, really special time. And I really hope I get a chance to go back. I didn't know how I would feel because it is a lot of travel. It is a full day. Like, there was also someone on my flight back yesterday, when we talk about, you know, the random things that can happen on planes. The first flight I was flying with my tour manager, and, we left at like 4 a.m. Right. The person who was supposed to pick us up was still asleep when we called to check on where they were. We randomly like flagged down a cab in Anchorage, got to the airport. Everything's fine. We're good. Get through security. We're like, do we eat now? It's like, nah, they serve a meal on the flight. It'll be fine. And the way that they had done it on that flight, I guess the way it works is, if they do have meals on a flight like that, cause it's a 5-hour flight, they carry enough for everyone that's sitting. Cause we were lucky enough to be seated in first. They carry enough for everyone in first class, but they don't carry one of everything. And so by the time they got to us, we were like the last two people that they went to, and they're like, yeah, all we have left is coconut oatmeal. And I was like, I'll just take some pretzels. I'm good. I like, if you know anything about me, there's very few things I won't eat. Coconut is one of those things that I'm just like, nah, I'm good. I'm good. So I'm like, you know what? I'll knock out. I'll get some sleep. No big deal. Get on the next flight. We basically got in and they had like a delay at the gate, a delay of us leaving, and then a delay on the other end waiting for a crew to come, you know, move the jetway out. So I had to like not run, but a very brisk walk. We weren't full Home Alone tuning it through the airport, but it was like, are we going to make it to the next flight? And, I really wanted to get back home in time to be in studio for this. So going through the airport, I'm like, I think we're going to make it. I think we're going to make it. We get there. In front of us, to my right, is Brett Young, who had just been performing somewhere up north and was catching the flight from Minneapolis on his way home. And he goes, heads up, there's four French bulldogs in front of you. And I'm like, what? And those dogs farted on us the entire flight.
But they're so cute.
Yeah, they were very cute. They also were very stinky boys.
you got crop dusted by French bulldogs on a flight to Alaska. That is excellent.
From Alaska.
Well, allegedly it was the bulldogs. We don't know.
A great move. A great stealth move. If you're feeling a little gassy, just bring your dog with you. Like, oh my gosh.
You know, there I would say the
no
culprit
bad dog. Yeah.
The culprit probably was the coconut oatmeal. Not gonna lie.
Nobody ate it though.
That's all that was left. No one ate it.
That's what you think.
Oh, man.
So, Chris, so now that you've crossed off all 50 states, are we doing the, like, U.S. territories, too? You're going to do some American Samoa, Vietnam, U.S. Virgin Islands.
Puerto Rico. Hey, man,
you never know. You never know. Those are definitely a lot easier travel-wise.
Don't need your passport. Everything's fine.
I told you about the whole thing where a couple of my friends had done the mileage, and so they were like, what does it take, like 2.5 days to get up there to Alaska?
No.
Did I talk about that last week?
I don't think so.
No.
They were like, yeah, it says, like, we put it in ways. First of all, they were like, we put it in ways. I'm like, that's not how a bus works, first of all. It's not comparable to a car. I don't know if you've ever seen how long it takes to fill a tank of gas into a bus, but it takes quite a bit longer. Also, there's this whole regulation thing about how long bus drivers can drive. But so they're like, yeah, it's like 60 hours. And I'm like, first of all, that's not counting the border cross. You realize it? They're like, well, I mean, it only takes like 2 or 3 days to get to California. And I'm like, yeah, but you're going to above that
to go through another country,
through another country
to get back to our own country. Yes.
Yeah. I was like, it's not quite that simple, guys. So
how was the like 21 hours of daylight? Because I saw a post, I think it was from Monsanto or someone from your crew, wasn't it like 10 o'clock?
And it was 21. No, we were there during the solstice. It was a full 24 hours of daylight.
Oh, wow.
We did not see nighttime until I landed back in Nashville.
Don't like that at all.
It was very weird because, like, we went out to go say hey to everybody at one of the local venues in Fairbanks, and we were walking back to the hotel, and it's like, it's midnight and the sun's up. This is weird.
It's weird to be that tired and still everything is like bright and fine. It's weird.
Also, if I had one negative, since I don't want to be like overly glowing about everything, you got to have one negative about your trip, right? Dude, so many mosquitoes.
Ooh.
I mean, bad everywhere.
They need more.
You said they were like Jurassic Park size
mosquitoes. Yeah, I mean, you might as well have played the pain in it every time we walked outside.
It's just a pterodactyl. It's just... Yes, pterodactyls sound like owls. I know. I get it.
Yeah, it's fine. It's an allodactyl.
You don't know what they sound like? Tell me what a pterodactyl sounds like. You don't know.
You don't know.
It's like, hi. We don't know.
Like little squeaks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my God.
Anyways.
Yep. Okay. So, what are you listening to? We're going to go around, Josh, unless you want to discuss rehearsals, if anything interesting has happened.
Nothing major yet. We loaded into the arena up here in Clarksville. So the rig is all set up. We did like kind of a tech day yesterday. Band shows up today. A couple more days of rehearsals to kind of work out all the lighting cues and choreography and thing, not like dance choreography, but like where there's a whole dance number. Like, it's like Spider-Man 3 for no reason, just happens in the middle of the show.
Josh looks like that one kid that got in the draft and he's in like red sequins from top to bottom.
Oh, Grady Dick, yes, from Kansas. Yes, yeah, very, very well aware of who he is. Yeah, so just final tech tweaks, and there's a lot of weight on my shoulders right now, just putting together like all the final edits for the Ableton session to kind of run the whole thing. So this is sort of my most intense 2 weeks. So I haven't had a ton of sleep in the last couple of weeks, but yeah, it's coming together really well, and it's going to be an exciting summer. It's going to be a hot one this year.
All right. Well, has anybody gone with Need a Favor by Jelly Roll for their song yet?
Nope.
Because I definitely got to give Jelly a shout out. Love that guy. He is just on top of the world right now. Super, super pumped for him. So that will be my what are you listening to this week.
Oh, next. So this song randomly came on, and I haven't heard it in years, and I forgot how much I love this song. But going a little sideways for me this week, and I'm doing Time is Love by Josh Turner.
Whoa, all right.
That song came on, and I was like, damn, I forgot how good this song was. Jeez. Love it.
All right. That's really good. Mine is a classic. I do not know why this song popped into my head. I haven't heard it anywhere. It wasn't in a grocery store. It wasn't anywhere. I just was laying on the bed, and it's Bad Day by Daniel Powder. And I don't know why it came back with a vengeance in my brain.
Is going to be stuck in my head.
Yep. It's great. It's a fantastic song, but
that song annoys me.
It's
Brian.
So I spent two of the last 4 days on a cruise listening to people do awful karaoke, but it was so much fun. But one song that came on, and it was by a famous artist known as T-Pain, I'm Sprung. Great song by T-Pain.
Someone sang that for karaoke?
They did, and I was a little confused. I was like, why not, you know, bartender, I'm in love with a, you know.
I think you just answered your own question right there, buddy.
Touche. I'm Sprung by T-Pain.
All right.
That's cool. What does Sprung mean?
I don't know, but it's out to get me.
Springs.
Yeah,
springs. Yes, like a slinky. Like a slinky, right?
Yes, exactly. That's we're going to stop there. All right. Let's go to sports.
Sports.
So let's talk draft. I mean, we knew Wembanyama was going number one. We knew he was. I'm shocked at the number of people that are like doubting him already.
Well, in fairness, I did just repost on my personal Twitter. There is a compilation of a shoot around with Victor where he does not make a shot for a while. Not a single jump shot. Now, this is after me.
Wait. We talking about practice, Josh?
I'm about to clarify. This is after media day. He's been answering questions, and now they're just getting some shots of him shooting in form to like put into flyers and on posters, et cetera. So like, I'm not taking it too out of context. This dude is still very, very, very good at basketball and can certainly, I mean, he can dunk while still standing. I don't think he'll be a bust. I am concerned his thin frame might get bullied a little bit by some bigger guys. I'm curious to see him versus Giannis in that sort of way, but
I will listen to that, and I will see you. You're concerned about his thin frame, and I will raise you Kevin Durant.
Correct, but at least Kevin Durant
is not the kind of scorer Durant is. But
Durant is a mid-range and outside shooting phenom who put on weight as the years went, which Victor will too. He'll put on some muscle. If you have a 7'6" guy with an 8-foot wingspan who can shoot threes, like you have to draft him first. Like you have to. If he ends up being awesome, now they've gotten Robinson, Duncan, and now Wembanyama. Like the Spurs are crushing it when it comes to big men. And I think that they have the right system, the right coach, the right team around him to make him be successful pretty early. I would just be concerned about some of those rougher bodies banging against him. You know, that's it.
I mean, what about you guys, Ryan? Do you have any personal opinion there to you on Wembanyama? Like, do you think he's going to be a boom or a bust, or do you think he's just somewhere in the middle?
I can't say you never know, because things have dramatically changed and time from college to professional. So I don't know, like, at all. I don't know. Go either way.
What I do know is that he has come up with a pretty great starting five that could beat the Monstars to save the planet. I don't know if you saw this. This is a starting five of who he thinks. And starting at point guard, Steph Curry. At shooting guard, Michael Jordan. At small forward, LeBron James. At power forward, Tim Duncan. And at center, Shaquille O'Neal. And let me tell you, that's a pretty good starting five to save the planet. So I'm into him. He's going to be a boom just for that reason.
Because he knows stuff. Listed the unanimous consensus, like, best player at all of those positions. Congratulations.
Knows his stuff. Knows his stuff. Can we call him Wemby from now on?
Player, I hope he knows his stuff.
I mean, it's Wemby, right? That's his nickname, Wemby. Let's just call him Wemby. It's just much easier than Wembanyama, you know?
Yeah.
Wemby.
Yeah, W-E-M-B-Y.
I'm like, it sounds too much like Wimpy.
I would happily eat a burger today.
I hope that he ends up stealing all the Rudy Gobert nicknames, like the French Rejection, the Stifle Tower. Like, I would just love all of those to get put on him instead.
The Stifle Tower is a stellar nickname. That is
I awesome. Like that. I do like that a lot. Yeah. That's a good one.
A couple notable things from the draft. Brandon Miller going second over Scoot Henderson is a very interesting choice. I get why you take the flyer on the 6'8" guy for Charlotte, but I think Scoot Henderson's going to be incredible in the NBA. And I think him getting picked third is only going to make that better because he's going to have a massive chip on his shoulder for not getting picked second or first. So we'll see. It also is insurance for the Portland Trailblazers if, and a big if, Dame Lillard asks for a trade to Miami.
Interesting. I wonder about what's going to happen with Lillard. I don't think he stays put regardless.
You think he's not on the Trailblazers start?
I don't know where he ends up. I think obviously that's one of the ones that's most talked about. I think that's run its course, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm completely misreading that situation, and you could probably speak better to that than me, Josh. But
so I was pretty against the idea of it happening until after I saw who the Miami Heat drafted in the first round. They drafted this guy named Jamie Yaquez, who is prototypical Miami Heat, like 6'6", I think, like slasher
culture and culture
3-point shooting shot run. And that now makes me think that a Tyler Hero plus Caleb Martin plus some picks or something to Portland for Dame.
You've seen the whole, like, you've seen, like,
he
Jimmy
had the song
playing,
Miami,
like,
playing in the
song
background.
On his IG and
names, I get
Dame
it.
Playing in Miami. Yep. Yep. I'm just letting you know.
So it feels like,
by the way.
Yep. Go ahead.
No, guys are talking all over the topic. This is like literally someone trying to wait, like the Geico commercial where they're like, hey, do we have everyone? Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead, Ryan.
No, I want you to finish your Dame thoughts. I'm curious.
It got derailed. Go ahead, Ryan. Talk about Miami and how they're going to lose in the finals again this year. Go ahead.
I was just going to give a shout out to the 20-year anniversary of the 2003 NBA draft. That was all I was going to do because we're on Draft Talk and there's only one person that is still active from that 2003 NBA draft, and that is LeBron James. Pretty impressive.
That was when I graduated high school.
Same.
For the record, Luke Walton went with the 32nd overall pick in that draft, and Luke Walton was coaching LeBron James as the Lakers head coach just a few seasons ago.
LeBron James played against Darvin Ham when he played for the Pistons in like 04.
God.
Had to give that shot.
Do we want to talk about that absolute shellacking that occurred between the Rockies and the Angels the other night?
Oof.
It was what?
Yeah, that was a
one.
Yes, yeah. It was 25-1. 24 run margin of victory, tied for the third largest in modern day MLB history. LA had a 23-0 lead by the end of the fourth inning. However, the Rockies won the series despite a minus 20 run differential.
Dang.
I mean, again, king of the stats that don't matter, a minus 20 run differential that all occurred in that one game.
Yep. That was the Rays differential to start the season because they had like four games that were 13-1 or shutouts.
Go again.
Talking about baseball, the college Gator. Let's go Gators! They killed it yesterday, first of all. The first game was great, and going into the 10th inning against LSU. LSU's great too, but I think the Gators are going to win it all. Just saying. Go Gators. Ryan, have you caught any of this college?
I have. And my favorite is Caglione, who is the star for the Florida Gators, is basically our new version of Shohei Ohtani, who leads the nation in homers and is also an elite pitcher and wants to do both at the next level. And yes, the Gators won, I think it was like 24-4, which was the most runs scored in men's college World Series history. Game three tonight in Omaha. What more could you want? Winner take all, SEC, Florida, LSU. Let's go Tigers.
Yeah, sorry. Do it. Just do it. Just do it.
The sad Gator there.
That was a really sad Gator.
Just, wow. It's like a cartoon Gator and all his teeth fall out. Yeah. All right. Well, it will be very interesting to see how all of this stuff plays out in the NBA, how the rest of the season plays out for Major League Baseball. I do want to give a shout out. Does it seem like all of the pitchers and coaches are angry as hell right now on the Major League Baseball side? Just constantly, every night, there's a different pitcher or manager like having a minor league level meltdown.
Are you talking about like Ryan Stanek, who had that meltdown on the second base umpires? Is that who you're talking about?
That's one of the things I'm talking about. Yes.
I like it. I want animated baseball. I want Don Zimmer being thrown to the ground by Pedro Martinez. You know, that's kind of what I want. We need to get back to that. You know, A-Rod and Jason Veritek just throwing bows at each other. Baseball needs more fighting. Actually, Josh, you're with me on this. Let's implement more fighting. We should do like hockey style fighting for baseball. Am I right?
And steroids and roid rage. Let's go. Let's put it all together.
I actually don't think that's a good idea to do steroids and allow fighting. That probably won't end up well.
No, it's amazing.
It would probably help Aaron Judge's foot not hurt.
Right.
100%. Have you seen the WWE? Those guys juice and it looks awesome. Let's go.
I do like how you are like on one side of this take. You may be the only person with this take, and it's probably the greatest take, is that steroids should be allowed and encouraged in baseball.
I love 500-foot home runs. I love dudes with biceps that touch their ears when they like flex. I'm here for all of it, man. Let's go.
So what I take away is Josh Degg's the long ball. That's what I took away from that.
Love the long ball. Mark McGwire saved baseball.
Yikes. Mark McGwire saved baseball. That's your take.
That's my take.
I mean, I will also throw out there that, Daniel Tosh had the hot take a long time ago in his stand-up of he thinks that they should allow steroids in football. Just let it be wide open.
That one's a little too much. That's beyond my detail.
I think maybe that's why it was a bit in his stand-up act, probably. I would probably lean that way. All right, let's go to movies.
Movies.
Yeah. All right. Extraction 2. What can I say about this film? 2023, rated R, 2 hours and 2 minutes on Netflix. 78% on Rotten Tomatoes, 94% of Google users like this movie, and I am convinced this is just people that have a... I was going to say something else, but I probably shouldn't say it. The women that really like Chris Hemsworth, let's go with that.
There you go.
Back from the brink of death, Commando, Tyler Rake embarks on a dangerous mission to save a ruthless gangster's imprisoned family. So...
I want you to know, I really tried to watch this movie. I really did. I sat there, I turned it on. I was like, I'm going to commit. I already had to watch the first one. This was garbage. We're just going to finish it out strong. And I made it 20 minutes and I shut it off. I could not do this movie. It's just not for me. These are not my type of movies. I have to.
Okay.
Did you even make it to the 21 minute action scene? You completely didn't even get to that point.
I found myself checking my phone almost immediately and just going, what am I doing right now?
I would like to present into evidence as someone that, and if you've ever listened to me break down action films, I'm here for pretty much anything. I'll watch Transformers movies. I'll watch all of the action things and call them popcorn flicks when that's all they are. They're good for having a bucket of popcorn and just watching. There's too many retread tropes in this movie. And I like Hemsworth. I do. There's no but. I like him. I think he plays this role well. To me, I think it's shot well. Obviously, the action's over the top.
Sure.
It leans into, now I won't give away too many like spoilers, so we don't have to hit a button or anything, and I won't give away the ending. It obviously sets it up for a third film. I think we already know that going in.
Shocker.
Can't wait for Extraction 3.
God. James Bond, the Bond movie a couple movies ago where he's like broken and he has to remold himself into the 007 we all knew him to be. That's a big thing they lean into at the beginning of it. They do the one continuous shot bit quite a few times in this film where it's like camera over the shoulder, all one seamless shot, which is hard to do. I get it. That takes a lot of creativity and set design, but it just kind of feels played out. It doesn't feel exciting to me in this movie for whatever reason.
Yeah, give us something new, like how John Wick 4 did the overhead shot blowing through all the, like, that was great. It's the same exact scene, just shot in a way where I go, okay, cool,
that's new. I like that. Yeah, also a couple of the things, like again, like going into the shot where he gets his bell rung from behind and everything, and you hear like, you know, the real like tinnitus kind of sound, and it's all like one shot of his head like moving around and he's like wobbled, and all of a sudden he comes to. It's like, what? Like, the dude just got rocked and he just like recovers all of a sudden and now he's driving a vehicle.
Like, he's talked himself out of a concussion and then back to just being fine.
It's okay. Yeah. The one where he's standing on top of a moving train with
that was going 40 miles an hour, and then helicopters are being
with
shot
a chain
down.
Gun, and he's miraculously not getting hit by any of the machine gun fire from the helicopter. Like, even with suspension of disbelief, I don't know about some of these scenes. And then one of the things I will give a huge shout out to is And I would mess up her first name, so I'm not even going to attempt it. But the girl that plays Nick, Farahani, amazing scene with her fighting the guys in the train. Like, she looked on another level, like moving around in that shot. And there's like a part where, you know, she disarms a guy by basically sort of like Kimura-ing his arm into like a pane of glass that's been broken and getting him to drop his weapon. And like that whole fight scene was super well choreographed. And I was like here for that. Also, there is a scene where they did something really different where they're in the building later on in the movie in there, which Josh, you missed this part, but they're fighting and there's a guy that gets taken out by a weight bench, which was, I was like, I haven't seen that one before. That was the new one. That was kind of cool. So they do really swing for the fences. I never really felt like I resonated with the characters in this. I didn't feel like they did enough. And I feel like a bit blasphemous for saying this, because I know I've been the other way on opinions of other films. There's too much action, not enough talk. I never really felt engaged with the characters, and they talk about the ending scene of this being in a church, and it's like the redemptive arc of all the things that this guy's done wrong, and he's feeling redemption. I didn't get to that point. I didn't feel invested enough in the movie by that point. It's not a bad movie by any means. I just didn't engage with it like I thought it would.
Haley, what do you
think? I want to listen to you guys because y'all know I'm going to say what I like the movie. Like, I loved the first one. The second one I thought was even better.
I have a question. Is there a thing as too much action scenes in a film? This had a lot of them, and this had a 21-minute continuous action scene. That's why I'm asking. Is there too much action, especially in a Chris Hemsworth film?
Wait, are you asking me?
Yes. Is there a thing as too much action in an action film?
No. Yeah. Sometimes there's too much story in an action film, but there's never.
I thought the story was good. Bookended around family. Like, it's a good story. However, I do believe that after seeing this film and the first Extraction, that Chris Hemsworth has elevated himself to my power rankings of the best looking male actors on the planet.
Oh, so Brad Pitt in Troy has been replaced.
Yes. Brad Pitt in Troy has long been the GOAT in terms of best looking male actors on the planet. And Chris Hemsworth has officially replaced him in the power rankings. My new number one.
What?
I would love to hear you boys argue the most attractive male in.
No, we're not. Ryan is. We are not saying anything about it. It is just Ryan on Ryan's corner talking about men with their shirts off.
Look, I've got a thing for cowlicks and you know, short buzz cuts. And you know, Chris Hemsworth just does it for me now, you know? I mean, I used to like the long hair, like Brad Pitt, just flowing.
So wrong, Ryan. He does it for you.
He does it for me. Yeah. Gets me all hot and bothered, you know, watching this movie.
And use this against Ryan in the future.
So what movie are we watching next week?
Ryan, have you
didn't get you hot and bothered?
Mike XL, I'm just curious.
Oh, well, you know what? When I was on that flight with the lady that had the two bulldogs, at least on my side of the plane, she was discussing with the woman sitting next to her, who was not with her on the trip, who watched her bulldogs while she went to the bathroom, about the second Magic Mike movie. So, Ryan, maybe that's right if you're out.
You do know that Magic Mike, based on a true story from here in Tampa, just saying.
Okay.
So what movie are we watching next week? Is Oppenheimer out yet?
Extraction 3?
God, no. Yeah, July 20th is Oppenheimer.
Actually, you know what? Asteroid City, Wes Anderson.
There's that, or there's Pixar's Elemental, too.
Would you go see Elemental?
Over Asteroid City, for sure.
All right.
What's Elemental?
Let's go see a Pixar movie. It needs help at the box office anyway. So anyone that is on here and you're getting tired of us picking things that are like very violent or scary, or, you know, rated R, here you go. Pixar's Elemental.
Is this a kid's movie?
Yes.
No, this is a city where fire, water, land, and air residents all live together.
Like Fifth Element, but cartoons. There is also Indiana Jones comes out on Friday.
Ooh.
That's a pass for me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just needed to throw it out there.
I love Harrison Ford. The last one was so bad. I went and saw Crystal Skull, and I can't tell you anything about it other than I don't care to ever see it again.
Yeah, I literally have forgotten the entire plot of that movie.
Yeah.
Was there aliens? I can't remember. It doesn't matter. I don't care.
It doesn't matter.
I don't care.
I will watch it at some point when I'm on the bus and it's playing on.
And it's on TNT and we'll watch it then. It's great.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Okay, Elemental.
Elemental. All right. There it is. Now let's go to the hot take.
Do it.
Hot take.
Oh,
come on, man. Come on.
Retired.
Boo. We need the sounder. I even did sports.
We're going to go with this week for the hot take. The movie that is better than the book. Because normally, and I subscribe to this theory totally, all the time, it's like, the movie is really good, but the book was better.
Correct.
And I have an interesting take on this one, so I'll go first. And this may not win the poll, but Fight Club.
It's always better seeing the fight in person than reading.
That movie is just so good. And the fact that it is based off of a book, I don't know that you're going to be able to cast more perfectly or set that up the way that they did, like they did in that film. So it's Fight Club for me. That's my pick.
Well, I'm going to win.
Okay.
The Notebook.
Yeah, the book.
No, that's an easy choice.
But that movie, like, the book was always great, but the movie obviously just made everyone fall in love with it. And to this day is everyone's, as we've argued before, favorite love movie.
Yeah, sure. That's the what they're called.
Yeah.
Chick flick.
There it is.
That's what the word I'm going for. Yep, definitely got to be The Notebook. That's going to be the winner for sure.
It could be a winner. Or, or it could lose to Winston Groom's 1986 novel called Forrest Gump.
Yeah, that's a good one.
One of the greatest movies ever. The book was a little different. I did read the book, unbelievably. Jenny does not die in the book. Spoiler alert. Time for some spoilers. And Forrest ends up as an astronaut at some point, which is a little weird, a little bizarre.
Yeah. But
that movie is incredible, and it's starring the great one, Tom Hanks, and therefore it will have my pick.
Ryan?
The 1988 psychological thriller and horror novel, which was beloved by many, was only topped by this movie in 1991, The Silence of the Lambs, 4 Academy Awards, including Best Picture. It was that good. And it is the winner as a better movie than a novel, Silence of the Lambs.
Okay.
I didn't know that was a book.
So... you went Silence of the Lambs. Josh, you went Forrest Gump. You went what? The Notebook. If you will allow me, I'm going to change my pick.
Fair.
Oh, you're audibling. Whoa.
Well, here's the thing. I in my heart of hearts believe that my first pick is correct, because we're talking about what we think movie is so much better than the book, right?
Oh, you're going Mean Girls, aren't you?
No, I'm going over the top, because you guys all picked like massive hit movies. So I feel like I should be in the same category. Otherwise, I'm just setting myself up.
Don't do Lord of the Rings. Don't do that.
No. I would never. I did my senior thesis paper on Return of the King. I would never go.
All right. We're good.
My English professor was like, I will fail you if this is not the best paper I've ever seen, because you were picking Return of the King to do your thesis paper on. All right. And guess what? A+. So, again, round robin, The Notebook, Ryan,
Silence of the Lambs,
Josh,
Forrest Gump.
I will see all of those, and I will raise you Jurassic Park.
Oh, no.
Jurassic Park, baby. And you have to think about it. This movie was way ahead of its time, still holds up. It has had attractions made over it. First of all, amazing book. But the things they did in that film, the way they cast that movie, you're still clamoring years later to see those people still in those roles. You got a guy that is famous for being Newman in Seinfeld, playing a character who's a bad guy in such a perfect twist. Come on. It's Jurassic Park.
A fine pick. Ryan, it should be noted, Forrest Gump won 6 Academy Awards to your 4. For
I can't look
up. If you want to use stats, you should watch out before the stats kick you in the ass.
Okay, guys. Well, thank you. Thanks, everybody, for getting together. I know this was kind of a crazy one. As always, thank you guys for listening to The Quad with Chris Young. I am Chris. For myself, Haley, Ryan, and Josh, we love you guys. Make sure you go vote on that poll. And we're out.
Anyone but Ryan. Hey.
Anyone but Ryan. Hey. Anyone but Ryan. All right. Love you guys.
See you guys.